Welcome to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. It's your host, Pastor Domenico Denisi. I'm here with Pastor John Souza, Salvation Army, and also newly of the Job and Jesus Show on WYSL, the same station we have the pleasure of listening to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show through your guest hosting, filling in, which you still do, which thank you, by the way. I really appreciate that. You have started your own radio program that comes on weekly at 8 a.m. because I listen to it sometimes on my way into the office.
Get your sleep, right?
And the Job and Jesus Show, that's where I want to start, because you started, Pastor John, you started filling in for me a few years ago. I know you have a little bit of a radio background. We interviewed you. I said, I asked you to fill in. It was a perfect fit. And then all of a sudden, you had an opportunity to fill a slot at 8 a.m. And now you have the Job and Jesus Show with Dylan Acor and other special guests. I've listened to it. It sounds really good. I like what you talk. Obviously, it's all Bible-focused, Job and Jesus.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how that's going. And yours is weekly as opposed to this. This is monthly, so this plays at 11:30 p.m. Yours plays weekly, a different show at 8 a.m. But I know it's challenging once a week because before you know it, it rolls around.
Yes.
Just like sermon prep, right? Every week it rolls around. So talk a little bit about Job and Jesus and the radio, so on and so forth.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to sing a song for you first about you. It goes like this. I'll keep it quick. It says, what a difference you made in my life. What a difference you made in my life. You made a huge difference in my life, Pastor Don.
I needed to hear that.
Because
today.
He opened the door for me to get this Job and Jesus morning show going. And you opened the door for all kinds of ministry. You really were a godsend. I just did a radio show last week about divine appointments, and you definitely were a divine appointment. You have made a great difference in my life. So excuse my singing.
As you were for me. So thank you. I needed some encouragement today. So thank
God bless
you for
you,
that.
Praise great
God.
Man.
Thank you.
So as you said, I was filling in for you once every 3-4 months on your Rescue and Revive morning show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess you liked kind of what I did, so you asked me to be the guest host whenever you're not around, because you are a busy man traveling in the world. The only radio background I really had was that at college I have a bachelor's degree in communications, which was radio, television, and film, but I never really did much with radio.
Right.
Everybody told me I had a face for radio, and I do agree with that, so does the mayor. So anyhow, doing this show with you, I got to know Bob D'Angelo, the engineer, and he's a great guy, and he offered me to do a show. And it is once a week, and it keeps me busy. So I meet up with Pastor Dylan Acor.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little radio studio in his basement. I built one in my basement, and we try and get together, you know, once every few weeks and record a few shows. But it does keep me really busy.
Yeah, let me build on that a little bit, because I do listen. I have my Sunday morning routine before I get ready to preach, so I'm drive here. And I usually pull in around the 8 o'clock hour, and that's when your show's on. So I'll listen to some of it. And like we mentioned, and it's a dialogue about the Bible, about different passages in the Bible, so on and so forth. But it comes around so fast when you have weekly ministry, and you already pastor Salvation Army, you have all these other things going on. I know it's bell ringing season coming up. You're excited about
I can't wait. Oh, man, just jump for joy.
But that's going to consume most of your energy in November, December, bell ringing. How are you, what has been the game plan now about 6 months into preparing those weekly programs ahead of time, or how are you take a little bit of the workload off of doing that?
Well, first of all, because kettle season's right around the corner, I'm going to actually step out for the 2 months in the Salvation Army. We're going to go actually tomorrow to the studio and record a little infomercial with the Salvation Army. So they're going to be taking over for November and December. So there'll be no Job in Jesus November and December, but there'll be something about the Salvation Army.
Gotcha.
So, because I'm just too busy during that season to do it.
Right.
But again, I have a studio in my basement. Whenever I get a chance, I go down there. And my son, Ethan, is my engineer. Sometimes I have to bribe him, buy him a meal or something. So we record a few shows in my house. Otherwise, I go to Pastor Dylan's and record a few shows at his house.
Wonderful.
So we try and do like two every 2 weeks.
Wonderful. That sounds good. I mean, maximizing time, maximizing participation, an old phys ed term that I'll use that's wise. Let's talk about it. You just came down to our Lakeview apartment, Pizza and Praise. You filled in, you and Maddie. It was awesome to have you guys. I really appreciate you. The same way, the sentiment you shared at the beginning, I give right back to you 100%. I like to use the term kingdom man, kingdom-minded. I mean, you're about king over castle. That's what this ministry, Rescue and Revive Ministries, is about. It's gospel-centered, always the gospel first. You came down to Lakeview Apartments, and of course, I told you, I said, I feel kind of bad, because I said, it's not going to be like Salvation Army.
Sure.
We'll talk more about that Sunday mornings. But sure enough, we had some decent resistance with one specific person who, praise God for that. But What was your impressions about that outreach? Because, you know, John, it really is kind of like a church. It's only once a month, and it's only been a year we've been doing it. But what were your impressions and thoughts with the Lakeview Apartment Outreach that we do third Fridays?
Well, first of all, with the outburst, I just admired the way you handled it, Godfather. Thanks, God. You took care of that really quick. You know, there's always extreme characters.
A lot of inside jokes today. We'll explain later. Go ahead.
Yes. No, it was great. The people were very receptive. I had a great time. I felt really loose and free to preach the word. You have a great ministry going there, Pastor, with the pizza, the people coming. And I talked to some college students at my house Sunday night about maybe down the road, if you ever need us to, we can maybe go out and bring a nice band out there and do some more ministry. So I love joining partners with you.
Can I just plant a bug in your ear about our December 15th Christmas with the King dinner there? That's bell ring. Forget it. I totally forgot.
I have no life.
But no, let's do that. I love that. You know, part of the thing about Rescue and Revive Ministries and part of what this you and I are about is bringing people in. And that's what you've done with the college students with your ministry. That's what I try to do. We have several churches, several individuals that come alongside and serve alongside us in several ways. And so I'm all about that. I love that. So let's definitely do that. With that being said, you've also filled in with the Open Door Mission.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about our Open Door, which goes on simultaneously during Lakeview Apartments. So I have a gentleman, Jeremy, who's kind of leading that right now, but you had an opportunity to preach, and I'm not trying to puff you up, but he said, man, John knew, like, he was the best so far, meaning you know that demographic. You work with it every week. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to go there. You know, I've always kind of wanted to get my nose in the Open Door Mission. I've stopped in a few times, but I never got to minister there until you opened the door here for this, too. And you know what? I was actually shocked when I went in there because I'm out in the streets these last 4 years. I'm out there a lot dealing with homeless people. They come into my church. And I was amazed, Pastor Dominic, that when I went in there, there was about 70 people in there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You know, we help feed and help serve. But I was amazed at how many people I did not know.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did all these people come from? Yeah. I only recognized about 4 people.
Yeah.
Like, wow, there is a real prominent population of homeless people. I was just shocked by that. And, you know, I enjoyed preaching there. You know, you're in a tight spot.
Yep.
It's, you know, the crowd's not always listening, but they paid pretty good attention, better than I thought.
Yes.
Enjoyed that, too. I enjoyed that. Again, I thank you. I won't sing that song for you again, but I thank you for making the difference.
Actually needed that song today. I'm not going to get into it. I needed that encouragement. God knows
Well, that's the first time God ever used me singing to bless somebody. It might be the last.
Make a joyful noise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about another branch of Rescue and Revive you've been involved in. Let's talk about Follow the Cloud. We've done 2 Liberty Pole outreaches in July. Again, your wonderful wife, Maddie, has come alongside. She's helped with the worship both years. The college students, Dylan, has been out there.
Yes.
What have you seen from that? And then I'm going to segue into the Salvation Army where you're overseeing right now. But talk to us about what have you seen? Because that's literally right next door to the Liberty Pole Corps.
Right.
And we've done that outreach for a couple of years. I thought the first year in particular, God really did some wonderful things. This year as well, but I thought the first year was extremely impactful.
Yes, I agree.
Well, what are your thoughts? What do you see with that particular area of Liberty Pole, maybe?
Well, I appreciate you again opening the doors and putting that together, because for us it was like a block party, like a family party out there in the, right down the street from our church. It was great. Yeah, the first time we did it in July of 2022, had great showing, a great response. People at the altar praying. There was just a great spirit of love there and unity. And community. This last one we did just recently this summer was really good too. I think they both have been very successful, and I'm just surprised to see how many people are out there, and they're hungry, and they're willing to join in. So they've been great outreaches, so thank you.
Praise God. Let's talk about what you just said. They're out there and they're hungry, and you are literally, you know, 50 yards, 100 yards away from the Liberty Pole. You're at the Liberty Pole Court. You have a very unique ministry in the sense of there's many people who probably would not be able to handle with some of the things you have to get through. You have a large homeless population that comes in, which means drugs, alcohol, urinating on the seats sometimes, fights, literally, fist fights. I mean, I'm fully aware. Talk about how do you get through that week in and week out, almost anticipating some of those things are going to happen.
Well, dealing with some violent people at times, I just thank God that he made me this big, huge, giant, massive man, 5'7", 150 pounds.
Yeah, you're less. You keep losing weight.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, God, why did you give me this small body and put me down here with this demographic? So I have to use my love, my patience, my compassion, and, you know, just being able to de-escalate, obviously. But, you know, God's been faithful. I've been out there in the streets in Cleveland, all over, for 25 years. I've had my life threatened a few times, but basically I kind of know how to work my way out of it. And sometimes I have some big guys like you around to be my guardian angels. But, you know, God's grace is sufficient. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And I can say for 25 years, God's grace has kept me. Because I was raised in the white suburbs of Cleveland. I pastored a country church, you know, just all white people. I had one African-American person. And God plucks me out of that and puts me down in the inner cities to work with these people. And it was a progression. It was a learning experience. But God's grace is sufficient. You know, where he leads me, he's gonna equip me.
Where he guides, he provides.
Yes. Thank you.
I know you're big on quotes, and I've actually really grasped a few of them. I see you have some quotes written down. Do you want to read a few of those? Because quotes seem to have a time people learn from them. They get some, like myself, and somehow sometimes they become very tangible. So you want to read a couple of those?
Yeah, I'll just quote them to you. I have a whole list of quotes I practice that I memorize scripture, and that's what I use a lot is quotes, mm-hmm. jokes, humor, and scripture. One quote that really spoke to me, it says, "Some wish to live within sound of church and chapel bell. I want to run a rescue ship within a yard of hell."
William Booth?
No, that wasn't. C.T. Studd, I believe.
C.T. Studd, okay.
Yes. Right. William Booth said, "While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out as they do now, I'll fight. While there remains one lost girl on the streets, while there's one lost soul without the light of God, I'll fight till the very end." That's William Booth, founder of Salvation Army's most famous quote.
I actually needed that today, too. I needed that quote today. You know, William Booth, like you said, founder of the Salvation Army, soup, soap, and a shower, right?
Yep. Soup, soap, salvation.
Soup, soap, salvation. Yes. I missed the most important part. All right, talk a little bit about that.
Well, that was a big thing that Salvation Army does. Soup, soap, salvation. William Booth said, "You can't preach to a man on an empty stomach."
Right.
So when people come to our church, we give them donuts and coffee, and some stick around, some leave, and then we feed them a meal after, too. But soup is, you know, the physical needs. Soap, to wash them up. Salvation. And then salvation, obviously, the gospel. So that's what we do. We tried starting that ministry this back in the spring. We would go to Peace Village, offer guys to come back and give them showers. Yeah. And I'm going to try and do that again. Right now, our building's under construction, so I have no showers. But I'm going to try and do that again. Soup, soap, salvation.
Yeah. Let me pivot a little bit to the kettle campaign, because that's coming up.
No. Let me just say this.
I don't want to cause you nightmares.
Well,
go ahead.
If someone wants to donate $375,000, that's our goal.
That's all
you
need?
If you donate $375,000, I won't have to do kettles. So,
well, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. But with that being said, I didn't know that number. Talk to us about the core mission of that kettle campaign. Because Salvation Army is known for those little red bells. I actually have someone.
Right.
I have one somewhere that you might have given it to me. I don't know. But you see people, you go to the malls, you go in these public places, you see people ringing these bells in November, December. Tell us about what that is about, what's the goal, what's the mission?
Well, the Salvation Army's mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in his name without discrimination.
Okay.
So that's our goal. Our ministry is motivated by the love of God, and our message is based on the Bible. So we're out there raising our funds because Salvation Army, they say, owns Christmas. So November, December, we're out there ringing bells, and all that money comes, really, it pays for... They keep the Salvation Army going. It's very vital, these kettles. And we're losing, you know, interest in the sense of there's not as many people want to ring. People don't carry cash. But you have two choices to ring. If you want to just be a volunteer and volunteer for a couple hours, just one time, it's called Register to Ring, I think .com, Register to Ring. You can get on there and volunteer. Also, we take people from the community that are really down and out, and we will they go out and ring for us. They're volunteers, but we also give them a meal reimbursement allowance. So to pay for their meals, to help them out. So there's a lot of people who are hurting, and they need a little extra help. They help us out, and we help them out.
It's wonderful. I just want to say that there's a few people watching, different people. If you have any questions, you can actually just type them in, and I'll ask Pastor John if you have a question specifically for him or the Salvation Army.
Oh, there's my wife. She says, "John, what's for dinner?" Sorry.
As you just said, they'll incorporate a lot of humor into the sermon, so on and so forth. So let's build on that. I want to go back to the college students, because...
Yes.
There's evidently, they must like the 5'7", 150-pound frame. The college students are drawn to you. Tell us, how have all these different Eastman students and college students come alongside you, both in the Salvation Army, Liberty Pole Corps on Sundays, and outside the walls? How has that worked?
We actually just had a group last night. We were at the Salvation Army Rehab, and I preached, and some of the students did the worship. You know, it's not me at all, Pastor Dominic, and all sincere humility. It's just a God thing. God just brings them in, just keeps bringing them in, and they graduate. You know, we fall in love with them. They graduate, they break a heart, and they move on.
Right.
But God has brought us a new crop of students. So it's just really God. We know where God guides, He provides. Take care of the depth of your ministry, and God will take care of the breadth of your ministry. I haven't had to go out there and try and bring these people in. God just keeps bringing them in. I'm amazed. Sometimes I feel like I'm holding the ministry together by a rubber band, but God just keeps coming through, and it's His ministry. So I can't take any credit.
Well said. Well said. It's a joy to see them there, leading worship. The few times that I've been there, I've been really blessed to see them. People always get excited by youth. They get excited. You know, older people like you and I. That's the truth. But, you know, people get excited. They see younger people inside the church walls, and you can understand why. It's exciting for them. What do you think about this generation? Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, and in fact, let me just silence my phone for a moment here. Sorry about that.
That's my wife calling. Wants to know what's for dinner.
It was actually my house, but it's okay. What do you have to say about this generation? Because people, we look around us, and with everything going on with the war in Israel, the state of our nation, inflation, the list goes on and on and on. We have a presidential election coming up in about a year. What do you think about this generation? What have you seen?
Well, I'll just tell you this. I'm glad you asked that question. Just this morning, I saw they were interviewing a news lady from Israel, and she was talking about the United States. She said, this generation has gone woke and morally broke. I thought, wow, this generation has gone woke and morally broke. And when you look at the new generation, how they don't even know if they're male or female. This next generation is very confused, and I believe that's sometimes a judgment of God. But Sunday night we had about 8, 9, 10 college students, young adults in my house, and we had playing doing worship. Hannah Harrow was playing the guitar and doing worship, and we were singing that song that says, "I see a generation rising up."
Oh yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, and I just got touched. Yeah, it was. I said, I just looked and said, you know what? We're not that bad off as I thought, because I see these young. I'm getting the chills even now, just watching these young people, 18, 19, 25 years old, worshiping the Lord. I thought, man, there is hope for our country in this next generation.
Yeah, there's always hope. Let me ask about people who don't have hope. When you don't have hope, you have hopelessness. And I love the definition of hope biblically. It's the object of your confidence. Mm. How do you bring across that message of hope to 2023, what is essentially seems to be a lost and dying nation?
One of my favorite quotes is, "Well, there's no hope in the future, there's no power in the present." We got to have hope. If you have no hope, you're not
going to
have
power. I really like that, bro. You're going to have to write that one down for me. In all seriousness.
Yeah, okay.
No, in all seriousness, I really like that one. I'm going to have to write that down.
Well, there's no hope in the future, there's no power in the present. Where there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. What was the question again?
How do we deal with hopelessness? I mean, there's a lot of hopelessness, there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of entitlement, there's a lot of everything that we would deem would lead to hopelessness, but how do we bring hope?
I have people that come to my church every Sunday, and they're hopeless, and I just keep preaching the word, Pastor Dominic. The word of God is living and active, sharpening the two-edged sword. It's the word of God. You know, your words are found in Jeremiah, and I ate them, and they were the joy to my life. So I just keep preaching the gospel and praying that the Holy Spirit moves. Sunday morning, we had the rehab people there, and man, the Holy Spirit moved in such a powerful way. People just worshiping the Lord. So you got to get into the presence of God.
My job
is to abide in the vine. If I abide in the vine, I will bear fruit and let the presence of Christ be manifested in us, and then let God do His work, you know? We lift up Jesus, He draws them. So, the Word of God.
Well said. I like to say God's Word does God's work.
That's good. I might have to write that down. We'll exchange quotes.
We'll do that. God's Word does God's work. But I've just seen what a difference it makes. You know, we know in Romans 12 it says, talks about not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind.
Right.
And I don't think people, Christians in particular, don't understand perhaps the transforming power of the Word of God.
That's right.
And I've found even myself, when I'm in a crunch for time, so to speak, like I literally, I'm not saying this to seem holier than thou, but I was just driving to my son's school, and I turned on the Blue Bible letter app, was listening to 1 Peter, because I haven't had a lot of time yet today to get into the Word. So when I'm in a time crunch, I'll turn on the Blue Letter Bible app and just let it play the audio. So whether it's getting in through your eyes or your ears, if either way, it's getting into your mind. And it's helping to transform rather than all these other things you could be watching and listening to. What has been the most successful technique or advice you've given to somebody who you think is truly knows the Lord, they're saved, they're converted?
Just what you said. They've got to have their own study, because the Word of God does transform you.
How do you get them to do that?
I try to model it for them by myself, studying the Word and being able to quote it. So they see that, you know, mm-hmm. I'm meditating on the Word of God. But I've worked with people in rehab for, you know, dozen years or more. Mm-hmm. And the guys I've seen that have succeeded are the ones who take God's Word seriously. So I preach it all the time. You got to meditate upon God's Word every day and night. Mm-hmm. It's permanent. That's how my life changed, Pastor Donick.
Yes.
I got saved. My brother got me a Bible. I started typing out scriptures. I put them on my wall in my bedroom. And I'd spend hours in there just going. I still do.
That's amazing.
Not boasting. Sometimes I'll spend 6, 7, 8 hours on a Saturday just going over the scriptures. Charles Finney said, before I preached, I read myself full and prayed myself hot.
I love that.
So,
that's inspiring to me to hear that. It really is. That's inspiring to me. I really am inspired by that. Thank you for sharing that. I know this is going to be hard for you to believe. We only got about 6 minutes left.
What?
Yeah.
I know it goes by fast. I sing one song.
It goes by really fast.
Yes.
Really quickly, if you could share with those that are watching on Facebook and will be listening on WYSL, when are the service times at Liberty Pole Corps? How can people help out with the Red Kettle campaign if they want to?
Well, they can help out by registering the ring. Get on the registertheRing.com, I believe it is, and you can help ring for a few hours. Or every time you see a red kettle, throw some money in it. It all adds up, you know. Every drop will create a huge ocean. So that church starts. We move Sunday school. It starts at 10:15, just for like a half hour, 10:15 to 10:30. Then our college students, they get up and do the worship practice. And then church is at 11 o'clock to 12, 12:05. And then we have a community meal for those who want to eat. So it's a quick service. It's a little over an hour. It's just a quick hitter. But I'll tell you, Pastor Dominick, I've been a pastor for 33 years, and I've never seen God move the way he has in these years. Because I believe it's the last days, and I believe the people we preach to really need to hear it.
No doubt about it. And there is something special about that sanctuary. I've always told you that. There's something special. There just is. Plain and simple. Presence of God is there. God's hand is on that place. There's no doubt about that.
Well, your first Sunday there years ago, you got accosted, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your first Sunday. Welcome.
But I also felt the hand of God there in a very strong way the first time I was there back in 2006. So.
And you preached there a few times since I've been there, and everybody loves you, and you always do good. And I'll tell you what, you lay it right out there. You lay it right out. So God bless you.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Let's leave it at that. But let me say this before I end the same way we end every show, and that's by asking you to present the gospel. I just want to share with those who are watching or will be listening, we'll be headed to Uganda and Kenya on Sunday, October 29th. That's this Sunday. So when this airs, we should be in Uganda and Kenya continuing the work Rescue and Revive Ministry started a few years ago there. This is our third trip. But first time into Uganda to break ground there. And so any prayers would be appreciated for that trip from the flight to the – we traveled 18 to 20,000 miles by air and vehicle last time we were there. So put a lot of miles, but we're looking forward to it. And, again, we say thanks in advance for any type of support, prayers in particular. With that being said, if you could give us, Pastor John, you kind of alluded to this, but if you could give us the one-minute presentation.
1 minute.
For those listening, watching, podcast, whatever it might be, the one-minute presentation of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, 1 minute. Well, the Bible tells us that we all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and I think the conscience tells us that, Romans 2:15, that we are sinners. The Holy Spirit convicts us, John 16:8. I think if you really face the truth, the unexamined life is not worth living by Socrates. If you examine your life, you realize we all have sin. Mm-hmm. We all have a problem. We come short of God's glory. And then the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from God. And but God demonstrates his love for us, right? Romans 5:8. For while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. And if we just accept Jesus Christ, you know, as our Lord and ask him to forgive us of our sins, it's very simple. He made it easy. Salvation is a free gift which cost you your life. Mm-hmm. You confess your sins and you make Christ your Lord and you start reading your word and seeking him. Just abide in divine Jesus. He's going to bring you through. Your sins will be forgiven. He'll give you a new life. You'll become born again. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things pass, new things come. I've experienced that myself. You can't argue with that when you really get born again. And salvation gets you ready for heaven, but the Holy Spirit also makes you ready to be a light on this earth. Amen. So it's just giving your life to Christ, basically. Like when I fell in love with my wife, I gave her my life. Amen. It's no longer my life, it's hers.
Well said. Well said. And a picture of that born-again person, somebody who truly knows, is in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, it's a picture, it's in marriage.
Amen.
Christ
that's
in the
right.
church.
That's right.
So there's nothing that manifests or brings glory to God more so than a God-centered marriage. So thank you for that illustration. Thank you for that presentation. I want to thank those who are watching Facebook Live. Brother Chris Gallagher, he's been a big supporter of the ministry. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it. He says it is the last days. God bless. There's others, John Salmon, James Perkins. People who have been watching, we thank you. You could also hear this on WYSL. It'll be airing every Sunday night in November at 11:30 p.m. if you're a night owl. 92.1, 95.5 FM and 1040 AM, as well as Pastor John Souza's Java and Jesus show that comes on every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. You'll enjoy that if you're an early riser to tune in on a Sunday morning. So thank you again for helping us to rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful day.
God bless you. You're right, man. Time flies.
Yep.